thank you for day. Thank you for all that you give us, Lord. Just and we pray that you give us more knowledge, more guidance, Lord. That's why we're here, Lord. And we just pray that it's your word spoken here today, Lord, not Gary's. And we pray for those who are not here, one reason or another. If they're just gone, just be with them while they're gone. If they're not feeling well, Lord, just a healing hand upon them. But if they don't know you, Lord, we pray for that intensely, Lord. Just that we pray that they are not lost. But if they are lost, that they can find you, and that could help them get out of wherever they're at. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Revelation chapter 19, 1 through 3. Jane.
After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude of heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation, glory, and honor, and power of the Lord, to Lord of God. For pure and righteous are his judgments, because he has to judge the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her for the blood of his servants shed by her. Again, he said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever.
So, Hallelujah.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
What does that mean? Exactly. Exactly. So, the great harlot is represented by an evil city, which has been, we've been talking about it for a few weeks now. So, this evil city is named, anyone at all?
Jerusalem.
Huh?
Jerusalem,
no. That's a person.
Bethlehem.
No. It's the evil city. It's kind of the name of an infant.
We were talking about this.
And they're not short, but they're long.
We were talking about this last week, right?
Babylon.
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 Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said. I heard it. Now, it's been destroyed, and the smoke rises up forever, signifying that the destruction was great and it's not going to be rebuilt, right? The destruction, it is destroyed forever. And a great multitude, it says, a great multitude. What does that mean? Right, a great amount. Now, there's a lot of people, right? Praises God for his righteous judgment and for avenging the ones who are murdered by Babylon's influence. So that'd be people that believe in God, but they were killed because they believe in God. So there'd be martyrs. Now, a great multitude. You know, there are a lot of times, I don't know if you felt it, but there will be times what we feel alone. Anybody feel alone sometimes? Right? Everybody does. And we feel like it's me against the world. Right? Sometimes it's nice, but it's also nice to know that there's somebody out there where
there's
like you.
Nobody in the house to tell me what to do.
but it sure seems like non-believers outnumber believers, right? You're out in the world and you're like, oh my gosh.
Who are you?
Right? And it most likely are is that non-believers do. But still, there's a great multitude, meaning a lot of people, right? There are Christians out there. Christians who are going through the same thing we are going through, what you guys are going through. There's other kids that believe in God just like we do. We are not alone. Now, the devil tells us everybody's going to laugh at you if you let them know that you still believe in God. But no, he tells that lie to everybody. He just tells everybody that. And we need to be strong enough not to fall for it, be strong enough not to be ashamed, and be strong enough to show others that they are not alone, just like we're not alone. In Revelation chapter 19, 4 and 5, your eyes do that too sometimes? Yeah. So this is a memory test. Memory test. And I don't expect you guys to know this, because back in Revelation chapter 4, we were introduced to the 24 elders and the four creatures. I don't know. You possibly could have remembered that. Maybe. But they hang out in the throne room of God. They're there praising and worshiping him 24/7. But they're in the throne room, right? Then Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, Stephen.
And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for God.
All right. So notice, and this will come up in just a little bit, but it says a voice, not voices, voice of a great multitude. So it's one person's talking to him right here. God is omnipotent. Yeah, omnipotent. Omnipotent. Right? And that means, thank you, that means that his power, God's power, is unlimited. Right? There's no limit to it. He's all powerful. Like being at two different places at the same time, he is able to do such a thing. However, he cannot do one thing. God cannot do one thing. He cannot change who he is. He can't change into the devil. He cannot make a mountain so huge that he cannot move it. God is not evil and never will be evil. He won't let himself do it. That, because that would mean he'd change. You know, he can't be evil. He never will be evil, so he cannot change into the devil. Right? He can break down any walls. He can move any mountains, because that's who he is. You know, he is all powerful. He doesn't change. This actually shows his power, because if he needed to change, or he did change or pivot, that would mean that he didn't know something. But God knows everything. So he doesn't change. He doesn't have to change. He already knows what's going to happen. He is all powerful. Revelation chapter 19, 7 and 8. Michelle. Do what? So the marriage of the Lamb. So in the Bible, there's a lot of metaphors. And what are metaphors for? Exactly. It's to be able to understand better or to explain things in a more simple way so I can understand it.
I hope he doesn't watch these. Yeah.
Right, or listen to these things. Yeah, but that's kind of cool. I mean, you could try to use those, and it makes a letter more interesting, and it's poetic, if you will. But so Jesus in a marriage would be the groom, the head of the household. And then believers would be the bride. This concept can sound weird. But get in your head that this is not about gender. It's not about male or female roles. It's not about same-sex relationships. And sometimes it's really weird for guy believers to go, oh, I'm the bride of Christ, because it's just naturally in us not to say that. Yeah, like I said, it's not about that. But marriage is a commitment in a partnership between two people. And it was ordained by God, right? Just like it's a commitment to choose Jesus. It's a commitment in our choice to choose Jesus. In a typical Jewish wedding, it starts out as the man leaves his father's house to go meet his bride, right? Something similar as Jesus leaves his father to come to earth as a baby. Next, the groom pays a dowry. So we know what this is, right?
No.
So typically, the groom would pay the father of the bride a price for the honor to marry his daughter. It's an old tradition. Basically, he buys her. He pays for her. These are old customs. But these are old customs, and that's the way it used to be. Just kind of like Jesus paid the ultimate price on the cross for us. Right? He paid the ultimate price. Sometimes that would be the case, too. Now, then, the groom in a typical marriage, he met the bride. They go, okay, I'm going to leave now and prepare a room for you. So he'd go build a house or put a room on his father's house if he was that's well off. But he'd go make room for her. Jesus ascended to heaven to make room for us. Next, the father of the groom lets the groom know when he has finished making the room, or when it's acceptable, or when he should go retrieve his bride. Nobody knows the day or the hour when Jesus will return, except for the father. The groom is announced as he approaches. So that, it happened is that the bride would be waiting, and then the groom is announced as he approaches to go grab the bride. Well, I think They announced the groom where he's far off, so she'd have time to change into her wedding clothes.
And she'd have to be at least 2 hours
away. Right. Maybe. I think female getting ready time has stretched over the years. The angels will blow trumpets as Jesus approaches. Then there's this marriage. Then the marriage happens, right? And then typically the groom and bride go off to spend time together. And this is where people will think about the rapture. And as we're carried away and we're up in heaven with Jesus while the tribulation happens. Broom or groom? I believe it was a G. Broom. Well, it could be a broom. A broom and a mop, they could be married, it's fine. And then after that, there's a big wedding feast. Right? So it's a big party. There's a big celebration, right? Just like there's going to be a celebration when Jesus returns. They last like weeks.
Oh, thank goodness. I went to Mexico and stayed up till 4 in the morning.
See, that's short.
Woke up at 4 in the morning to get ready, stayed up till 4 in the morning.
24 hours? Nice.
I hated it.
Oh, sorry. But there's going to be a big celebration, hinting the praising of a great multitude, right? Revelation chapter 19. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. This will be the best supper ever. Right? All the best food, all the best company, best supper ever. And everybody will be blessed who are there.
I'm just going to take the whole table of food and be like, this is my plate.
Well, there's going to be plenty of food, right? Because it's the best. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. James. All right, so right here, I want you to remember who's talking to John. Remember I said it was a voice. So it's one voice of the great multitude. So John mistakes this voice to be Jesus's, but he was wrong. This voice, it could have been an angel. We're not sure. It doesn't specify. Or it could have been a saint. And you know what saints are, right? They're just Christians. They're just people that believe. Just people that believe. They're very quick to point out, don't you dare worship me. Right? Don't worship me. Do not worship anything or anyone except God. You know, angels or saints are just fellow servants. Yeah, there's a difference between us and an angel, but we're just servants of God. We're servants of God, right? We're not servants of an angel. We're not servants of a statue. We're not servants of Jesus' mother, right? We pray to Jesus. We pray to God. That's it. Revelation chapter 19, 11 and 12. Stephen?
Now I saw heaven open, and behold, the white horse, and who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judged and made war.
See, it has horses in it. I thought you'd like this one. The writer, of course, it's... Who's the writer?
Revelation.
You are exactly right. This person was sitting on it, and the person sitting on it is Jesus. And he is, by nature, he's faithful, he's true, and that's why people call him by those names. It's that he's always faithful, he's always true. He rides this white horse. Back in the day when a king would ride a white horse, that means that he conquered. He'd be riding in the city, conquered, and he was victorious. Jesus already knows he's going to be victorious. He already knows he's going to conquer. That's why he rides in a white horse. He's returning to judge by fire. Fire purifies bad things, right? And it separates impure things and pure things. Right. Yes. Oh, it's behind me. It's behind me. I don't know why it's there instead of there. But he has multiple crowns, meaning he's the King of Kings. He has authority over all. And then we've already talked about two of his names, Faithful and True. Jesus has a lot of names, but there's a name nobody knows. This is kind of signifying that there are some things. There are some mysteries of God we will not know, we do not know. We need to lean on his understandings. That points to we need to lean on his understandings, not our own. Not that we're all powerful, he's all powerful. He knows things we do not know. Revelations chapter 19, 13 through 14. So I feel like there's a lot of people who would speculate different things on the blood on the robe. Now, I kind of feel like it could be signifying the people who died for believing in God, for believing in Jesus. You know, those martyrs, signifying that he will avenge that blood, that he remembers that blood. His army, they're all on white horses, and they're all wearing white. You know, white signifying purity, righteousness, cleanness, right? That's why they're all, it's a righteous army. They're only going to do the right thing. Revelations chapter 19, 15 and 16. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron, and he himself tends the winepress of the furiousness in wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and in his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So his word, right? That's what comes out of his mouth. And the truth is very powerful, especially for God, right? And that's his weapon of choice. And he will rule over nations because of that weapon. Think about that. Think about this as far as when God created the world, he did it by just speaking it, right? Jesus could do a lot just with his words, but his words also mean truth. Now, I don't know exactly the picture John saw. Is it that there's a physical sword coming out of his mouth, swinging around? I don't really think. I just think that it's just meaning that the sword can split and cut through things, right? And so can Jesus' words. He go through and separate what's a lie and what's true. He knows the truth. Revelations chapter 19, 17 and 18, yes? Is there, or what if there was? All right, maybe stop the burrowing for a second and read 17 and 18.
Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried in a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of it, "Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great."
So earlier we read about the best supper, right? Best supper, best company, great food. Now we read about the worst supper, right? Doesn't sound very appetizing. Hopefully it doesn't sound appetizing. That'd be weird.
The worst supper would be like a bunch of Dorito crumbs.
I think this would be worse because it's a whole bunch of dead bodies. Dead flesh. Zombies. Zombies maybe. But that's why he's putting this invitation to who?
Birdies.
The birdies. Right? To Tweety. Little Tweety birds don't come down and chew on some flesh. You know, these birds, there's nothing don't be left except for dead bodies. And then the birds are gonna come and they don't get their full trying to clean it up, right? That's their job. Revelation chapter 19 through 21, right?
Three slides, yeah.
Yeah. Perfect, right?
Nope.
No, Stephen? Okay.
And I saw the beast, the king of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him, who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet. Brimstone killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh.
So, what is this picturing? It's picturing this big battle is about to happen, right? There's the beast. Who's the beast? Huh? No, it's the Antichrist, but he represents Satan. He gets his power from Satan, but it's the Antichrist. And then there's the false prophet. There's people that, you know, he's going to mislead. And then there's the kings of the earth, right? And they all decide to go to war against Jesus, right? Now, it's not even close. You almost feel bad for these people if they weren't so evil. But, you know, one moment they decide to go to war, the next sentence, they're defeated. Right? It's very quick. Right? So all the kings of earth, their armies are killed. They're killed. That's the flesh, what's left on the battlefield. in the beast in the anti are the beast and the false prophet, you know, they're captured. And they're captured alive. And then they're chucked into a lake of fire. Right? That'd be a horrible way to go if on fire, I think. Only thing worse would be drowning.
I almost drowned. It's not as bad as you.
It's the panic. But fire, there'd be a lot of pain involved, I believe. Until you don't feel anything, it'd be really horrible. Yes, it'd be very painful. Yes.
And then she just, for some reason, dunked my head in the water for like 10 seconds, and I wasn't ready for it.
Right? When you're not ready, you panic. You're like,
I was like, I surprisingly didn't panic. My dad thought I was gonna, and I told him no, because I may or may not have watched like a billion videos on what to do if you're drowning, because I'm scared of deep water. They helped?
Well, good. That's good. That, you know, keep your mind. That's why it's good, always good to have your mind on Jesus, because it helps, just like it helps with these videos, because you know what to do when something happens. So when Jesus returns, what this whole chapter is telling me is when Jesus returns, there's going to be two meals. You know, there's the wedding festival, where we could eat with Jesus, we could enjoy ourselves, or there's going to be a battlefield meal where we could be eaten by birds. No, thanks. Good.
No.
Good choice. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. No, it's horrible. We're contagious. I've been known to do this, and it is a common problem. And for some reason, I add words. But there is no adding words. There's no middle ground with God. You know, you're either with him or you're against him. These are the choices, right? And you choosing not to be with him, that means you're going against him, because you're influencing others to do the same. You know, each morning when you guys wake up, think about this. When each morning when you wake up and you go to the breakfast table, you expect something nice, right?
No, because I make my cereal.
Oh. Well, that's kind of nice. Can be nice.
Because my dad makes eggs.
Well, next morning, think about when you wake up, there's only two meals on the menu. It could be a Great Depression. If you choose that one where we're only eaten by birds, right? You've survived, right? You're a fighter. So hopefully we choose wisely, right? Nice, delectable wedding cake or death?
Wedding cake. That's the one I had. It
was right.
Stephen made it. I eat it all.
There you go. Well, it's a Stephen cake or the birds. Michelle, can you close us in prayer?